Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the My Wave Podcast. Super excited that you're back with us. Hope you're enjoying these stories of My Wave. My Wave, my story, my life. We're looking at a surfer's one wave that they would want to relive. And it doesn't have to be their best wave, just the most memorable wave. Today, we'll have Laurel Senek with us here in just a moment. And super excited to hear from her, her wave, her story, her life. But before we get into that, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Sully's Archery Tag. Sully's Archery Tag is played like dodgeball, but with arrows. It's a mobile event. They bring the fun to you. Check them out at their website, sullysarcherytag.com. Also want to give a big thanks to Billy behind the scenes with Co-Pilot Studio, and appreciate all the hard work he's put into this. And let's just go ahead and jump into the show. Welcome, Laurel. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I just got out of the water.
I know. I was going to say, your hair's wet. What happened? Was it raining?
No. There was just some stellar waves out there tonight.
It was. I got a text. Oh, it must have been about 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And it was like, dude, are you seeing this? And it wasn't. I think one report showed it late cleaning up. Mm-hmm. And it was, so he sent a screenshot, and there, I was like, uh-oh, fake news. And I was, he's like, no, seriously. So, I had to go help a gentleman and then pick up my son. Mm-hmm. So I just loaded everything up and did my chores, went and picked up my son. He's like, hey dad, I'm hungry. I was like, we're going surfing. He's like,
you
what?
Have to earn your food.
That's right. He said, is that any good? He's 14 and his voice is like this deep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a trip. And all he talks about is food.
I can believe that.
I mean, we were out surfing. We surfed for about 2 hours. And he goes, hey, dad, I'm hungry.
How tall is he?
Oh, man, he's getting up there. He's maybe 5'8", 5'9", 14.
Growing. He needs that food.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. So just got out of the water. Did you have a good session?
Oh, it was fun. It was a little chilly, so I've been in Puerto Rico quite a bit. So.
Oh, yeah?
This cold weather is kind of the bummer.
When was the last trip down to Puerto Rico?
We got back. When did we get back? We spent February there.
Did you?
Basically.
That's nice. Yeah. Because you have a place down there.
Yeah, we have a place down there now, and I'm going to do a little artist retreat,
nice.
Or a writer's retreat at the end of the month. So I'm taking some girlfriends down that are in my writer's group, and we're going to write, and none of them serve. So this will be the first time I have people down that don't serve, so I'll just be sneaking out in the morning.
Yeah, be disappearing. Mm-hmm. Where's Laurel? I think she went to get some coffee for us.
She went for inspiration.
Yeah, you did. That's awesome. So you write as well?
I do.
Yeah. What are you writing?
Well, I am dreaming that I'm writing a fiction novel. Actually, I've written one novel and I'm working on the second one. Mm-hmm. I'm still editing some of the first one.
Okay.
So I'm sending it out for agents now.
All right.
Yeah. But I picture it being a movie. So
now
that'd be cool.
That would be sweet.
Yeah.
You're going to do self-directed because you did a movie.
I've done a small documentary, local.
So let's go back a sec. That's the first time I think I ever met you.
Okay.
It was at WBLA meeting.
Okay.
And you...
Wrightsville Beach Longboard Club.
That's right. Wrightsville Beach Longboard Association, which they're starting back sometime in April. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. They already have a date for their Pro-Am as well at Wrightsville Beach.
Sweet.
So looking forward to getting back into that good club. To be involved with, but it was outside at Katie's,
mm-hmm.
and we watched this movie. What was it about?
Oh, Any Given Morning was a little surf documentary that I made about the community of people and the kind of vast community of interesting people. You know, you had the neuropsychologist or the painter or the acupuncture person.
You mean not all surfers are potheads? What in the world?
Well, maybe we all started that way.
I know nothing.
Yeah, I didn't mean to say that.
Well, that's exciting. Now, that you put that out how long ago?
That was in 2009.
All right, is it up on YouTube?
Actually, it's not on YouTube.
You need to put it out there.
Well, I have video DVDs you can purchase, all but
right.
I don't have it on YouTube. It used to be on Amazon
okay.
for a little bit, but
yeah,
the guy that was producing it or took it over as, you know, he had his own company and he was borrowing other movies and managing them to the Amazon or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew, okay. Moving on from that.
So you want to take this book though and turn it into a movie?
Yeah. So I'm hoping not that I don't want to turn it into a movie. I want to sell it and mm-hmm. I want to like, it's an adventure novel, surf adventure novel.
Okay.
It's a female protagonist, uh-huh. which came about because I went to the library looking for a book that I would enjoy reading. And there was nothing. There was nothing with a female lead, you know. Okay. So there was a few surf novels that were kind of surf noir, mm-hmm. so a little mm-hmm. dark, but mm-hmm. adventurous. But I guess Bethany Hamilton is really the only book that I found that they were really not written by her. They were about her right. life, but they were kind of teenage
yeah.
little adventure things.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this one is a female lead. She goes from Wrightsville Beach to Canada to Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
And there ends up being a treasure hunt and some pirate booty and
okay.
a kidnapping and all wow. kinds of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. That sounds great. I'll give an update in the future on this podcast once it's out there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So before we jump into your wave, you've surfed for a little while.
Yeah, I didn't start till I was 36.
Really?
So, yeah.
So just a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm a late bloomer.
Wow. So how did that get started?
I had wanted to surf, and Joe Pickett, who mm-hmm. is a coach here in town, she came in. I used to work at the Tidal Creek Co-op, and she came in selling a wetsuit, and I thought, I want to surf.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought the wetsuit, and it was 5 years later that I caught my first wave.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you bought the suit, no board?
No board, nothing. And I was like, I'm going to surf, so I'm going to get that suit. And then a friend moved in a block away from me, and he surfed.
Uh-huh.
And so I told him I wanted to surf that summer. He was a professor, so he was off for the summer. And
yeah.
we headed to the beach almost every morning, and he had a truck and an extra board. And
there you
so kind of coached me in.
Yeah.
And then I went every day. And then he went back to school, and he let me walk down the street, borrow his truck, because he had two cars, and carry the board down. So,
really?
Yeah. By that time, I could actually carry this huge board.
Right, right. So you started with a longboard?
Mm-hmm. Big old chunky one. He had to help me carry it for the first
big.
Month or so. Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
What did you find in beginning surfing? What was it that was difficult?
Everything.
Because part of this podcast is I want people that are maybe learning mm-hmm. and they come across the podcast, it's shared to them to say, hey, I want to learn something about surfing.
Mm-hmm.
And so any little nuggets of help that we can leave in this cast.
Okay. Well, I would say it is a difficult learning curve,
mm-hmm.
but having that big board and then having the time. If you can carve out that early morning time, if you're an early morning person,
mm-hmm.
that's when to go.
Yeah.
That's the best, cleanest wind. And
right.
You're not really taking from any place else in your life because
yep.
other things start later. So
right.
if you can get up at 5:30 in the morning and mm-hmm. make it to the beach and committed.
Yeah. Especially in the summertime, 5:30, you're in the water.
Yeah.
You can see.
Yeah.
Now, what do you say to people who are like, well, don't sharks feed in the morning and in the evening? And what do you tell people that have that?
Well, this is what I tell them, because this is what one of the people that helped me learn, Wilson Freshwater.
Mm-hmm.
He's a marine biologist
mm-hmm.
with the last name Freshwater.
Nice.
And he said, they're not interested in you. And I just took him at his word and they're not interested in me. And then that worked for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would work for everybody.
Right, right. Well, that's interesting that he would say that. And I guess coming from a marine biologist,
right?
He should know, right?
Well, you got to trust him.
Yeah, yeah. It is. I tell people, they'll ask, are there sharks?
Of course.
And the answer is yes.
Yeah.
We're playing in their neighborhood.
But we have a better chance of getting struck by lightning
right.
than getting bitten by a shark.
Yeah.
Maybe it's changing now, though.
More people in
yeah.
the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, COVID. Yeah. Beaches have been packed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was packed today.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was this weekend, too. Did you surf any this weekend?
Last Friday.
I saw you Friday.
Yeah.
That's where we paddled out, and I was like, hey, Laurel.
want to be on the podcast? And I'm like, as long as you want to be on mine.
You have a podcast too?
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it?
It's called, I don't remember. Post-Session Podcast.
Post-Session Podcast. And I've been listening to it for at least a year or more, 2 years. How long have you been doing it?
A year and a half, probably.
Year and a half, okay. Because I know I started out before you had that big launch down there at Fermental.
Yeah.
But I was listening to it, and I enjoy it. I really do. Post-Session Podcast.
Check it out. We're enjoying doing it. Podcasting's fun, right?
It is. It is. It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm doing a horrible job, but it's fun, you know?
It's funny being on this side of the interview.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, because as the person that if you're doing the interview, you're asking the questions, you kind of have all the control. So suddenly I realize, I just talked myself into a corner and I can't get out.
That's good. That's good. Well, awesome. Yeah. Y'all check it out. Post-Session Podcast. It's available on probably everything.
Yeah.
Not on YouTube though, right?
Mm-mm, nope, not yet.
Not yet. We're getting it there, right?
We're working on that.
Awesome.
Right, Bob.
Bill.
Bill.
Sorry. Billy Bob. That works too. Well, awesome. So, let's get to the water.
Okay.
Let's get to the water, get to the wave.
Paddling in.
Where is this wave that you want to talk about? Where was it?
Okay. It was in La Saladita, Mexico.
Really?
So we flew into Zihuatanejo, which is really fun to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zihuat is kind of the slang for shortened.
West Coast, Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And then we travel up to Ixtapa, and it's probably 20 minutes from there. I think Ixtapa is a tourist area, but where we were is like you just pull down this dirt road, and you end up in a little village area.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty, I think, famous left wave, left break.
What's it called?
La Saladita. And
a little salad? No.
Maybe. I don't know what it means. But it is a paddle out is going to take you 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it?
If you take it casual, if you are you're jonesing to get out there, 15-minute paddle out.
Is it because it's super far out?
It's super far out, and it's a super long ride.
Wow, really?
For all you goofy footers. Are you goofy foot?
I am goofy foot.
Well, this is where you want to go.
You're not goofy foot, though.
No.
No.
But you know what? I think I'm super comfortable on my backside, which is the left foot, because of I went to Mexico twice.
Mm-hmm. And to the same plot?
To the same place. So you're only going left.
Huh.
And you just go left, go left, go left.
Right?
Not right.
Yes, not right. My son spent 6 months in Jeffreys Bay, South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's goofy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came back from that 6 months pretty strong on his backside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for those of you listening, backside means, really, your backside is to the wave. And so, I'm goofy, so my left foot's back, front right foot's forward, and front side is going left. Mm-hmm. But backside for me is going right, where Laurel's the other way.
Well, and a lot of people, would prefer to face the wave because you can kind of see what the wave is doing, mm-hmm. whereas backside, you're looking over your shoulder, and
right.
It's fun, too.
It is. It is. Yeah. So, La Saladita?
La Saladita.
Mexico.
Mexico.
Long paddle. Who were you with?
I was with the Longboard Club, Wrightsville Beach Longboard.
When was this? I missed that trip.
Yeah, it was pre Kyle. this was probably around 2010.
Really?
Yeah. And we went twice. So let's see. The first time, Billy Curry went on that trip.
Okay.
And he was kind of, I felt like, he's in there. I'm
going
to watch what he does. This guy's in the Surfing Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So there was a big day, right when we got there.
Uh-huh.
Which is really, I'd like to start a trip kind of medium wave and work my way up.
Right.
But it was big, but they were calling me into the wave. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And that's where this wave was big day?
On that big day.
How long you've been surfing up to that point?
Like a year and a half.
No way. Yeah. No way. So you're getting paddling out in big conditions.
Yeah.
A year and a half in.
Yeah.
Some people would say,
foolish.
What are you thinking? And so could you pass on some info about this little idea of know your limits?
I might not be able to speak to that.
Because we're as surfers, we want to push our limit.
Right. Well, now, for that year and a half, I was surfing every day.
Right.
And so even though I did start late, so I think it did take me a lot longer than it would have a 10-year-old to, like, actually ride the face. And I had gone to Costa Rica before Mexico.
Okay.
And got to do a little bit of surfing somewhere else, like on the West Coast, actually.
Yeah.
And then I just felt comfortable. That was kind of like my little surf film was all about the cool people that I surf with. And mm-hmm. a lot of those cool people were there.
Okay.
And so I felt really comfortable. It kind of felt like, oh, well, I've got my people.
Right.
And they were encouraging me to paddle. And one thing interesting, I think, about that La Saladita wave is, you know, you're paddling and it takes that moment of you're looking over what looks like to be a cliff. Mm-hmm. But when mm-hmm. you pop up, it was pretty, not soft, but it was fat.
Yeah.
And so you had this nice, you know, when you popped up, you weren't falling into a cliff or a huge barrel.
It wasn't pitching.
No.
Yeah. So what kind of break was this? Was this a point break or mm-hmm. was this sandbar real far out or what?
Left point break.
Okay.
So you could, when you paddled out, you could paddle out to your right.
Okay.
And usually avoid some white water. I mean, mm-hmm. there would be those swing sets that would move you.
Yeah, so you paddled out and then paddled up.
Paddled up and over.
To get to that point.
Yeah.
So it was this WBLA crew, friends.
Yeah.
Were there other people out there that day?
So I did get yelled at on that trip, I remember, from a lady from La Jolla. I've had a thing about La Jolla since then. But she was just real, I mean, you know, obviously after a year and a half, I wasn't great at the look. And you know, on a point break, everybody's going from one direction to the other.
Right.
And you had to look.
Yeah.
But
so what do you mean by look?
So that's the look. So you're paddling for a wave. You want to look and make sure no one's coming at you
mm-hmm.
and already on the wave. So that would be, they would have priority for the wave. And I should not go for it.
So there's this surf etiquette that's part of the learning curve as well.
Oh, yeah.
And so if you're paddling for a wave, look back.
Sometimes look you have to
towards
look
the peak.
Yeah.
The peak is where the wave is breaking first,
mm-hmm.
and the person closest to the peak mm-hmm. has priority.
Yep.
In most given circumstances.
There's so many little details about it.
Right, right. So, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Look, so that way you're not dropping in on mm-hmm. them, messing them mm-hmm. up, or injuring them, or injuring yourself, or dinging up your boards, or anything like
that. Well, I'll say a side note about this person from La Jolla, is that, you know, I didn't cry, but maybe I did cry. I might have cried. She really kind of made me feel bad. But then the next day, I see her out with her kid, and she was screaming at them. So I was like,
heartbreaker.
Yeah. Wow. That sucks to be that kid.
Right. Right. Because you felt it you felt the wrath on one wave.
Yeah. And I'm a stranger. I don't care what she does the next day.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That was kind of sad.
Wow. So it's bombing this day. How big?
I'd say it was 10 feet.
No way.
Yeah.
Mm. And you said it was a fatter wave, so it wasn't barreling, pitching, or mm-mm. steep drop. It was
Well, you know, it looked like it was going to be a super steep drop. And I think when it's, even when it is fat, when you're paddling and you're looking down, it looks like you're going off a cliff.
Yeah.
Or it did to me.
Mm-hmm. For sure. 10-foot wave.
But then that little moment of faith where you go, I'm going to go for it. And really, one other thing for your listeners who might be newbies is, committing to the wave is better than pulling out at the last minute when I think that's more dangerous.
Yeah, because if you pull out last minute and you're too far forward,
you're
down. Getting sucked over.
Yeah.
And that's brutal.
It sucks.
Yes, it does. Especially when you're sitting on it. Yeah. And you ever had that happen?
Yeah.
I'm part of the learning curve.
Actually, this wave that I'm going to share is actually, you said memorable.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't say like that it had to be a positive wave.
So. Okay. No problem. We've had a couple of those. Bring it on. So looking over the ledge,
mm-hmm.
you take off.
So this particular wave, I was paddling with another person that we'd come with. I can't remember his name mm-hmm. now, but we were both paddling for the wave.
Okay.
I go for it. And my board slips out of my hand, somehow I get separated from the board.
Oh, no.
And so I go underwater, and the wave is so big. Well, I'm just spinning like a top underwater.
Mm-hmm.
for a while. Then, you know, another tip for your listeners is don't panic. Just relax. Once the tumultuous stuff stops, that's when you want to like use all that energy to get to the top.
Right.
So I'm spinning and spinning and spinning. And I'm starting to, it's starting to go, something's not right.
Right. I'm not coming up.
Yeah. And it turns out that the other guy had caught the wave and my board had somehow gone between in his leash.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So the wave was so big that he could not feel that he was dragging me and my board behind him.
But it was on his leg?
It, the board had gone between his board and his leg, and you know, in the leash. So, or gone
in the leash. The leashes had done this.
Yes.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah. So I'm spinning like a top. And
basically
this
getting drugged down.
Yeah, I'm just getting drugged down the line, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, it's the white water still holding me down. I'll just, I don't know. It could have been some supernatural force that kept me from panicking until I did panic. But, and it also, the person told me later that he couldn't feel it, but eventually my board crept up and tapped him on the ankle.
Oh.
And he was like, what was that? And he didn't see anything. And my board came up and tapped him on the ankle again.
No way.
And he was like, oh, my God, I think I'm dragging Laurel. So he bails off the wave.
Yeah.
And then, I can come up. And he said, I wasn't sure if you were going to come up.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and, you know, about that time, by the time I was able to come up, I was panicking. Of course, I was out of air. But and then we had to, you know, we were inside. So we had to get tumbled a little bit into the white water.
Yeah.
And
so inside means I'm inside the break area. The water breaks.
Impact zone,
foam, everything.
Yeah.
Outside is where it's calmer, quieter.
Yes. That's the name of my first novel, though, Foam.
Foam?
Yeah.
All right.
So, of course, I did, wanted to go in, but I paddled back out.
Right.
And I rode another wave, a long one, a good one, but that one is not, I can't remember it.
Right.
I remember going in proud of myself that I went back out and rode another wave.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember it at all.
Was that the only other wave you caught? Or did you catch
just that
many?
That evening.
That evening.
You know, so we had that happen and then the wave in.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. So what was going through your mind, you know, as you experienced that? You're brave enough to go back out. Don't remember it, but you did it.
Yeah.
As you look back on it, what impact did that have on you?
Well, I would say part of me learning to surf late and maybe something in that experience would be I'm competitive a little bit. And, you know, I don't like to get whooped. So that was probably what propelled me back out.
Okay.
Like, don't want to end on that.
That competitive spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And same with learning to surf. I think, you know, you get whooped by the waves quite a bit.
Sure do.
I mean, that's kind of maybe the norm. But there are those days that you just, that's so good. And you catch so many fun waves.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, it's mainly getting worked.
Yes. Yeah. So for those out there learning, stay at it. Stay at it. You're going to take some poundings. You're going to have some mouthfuls of water, lungfuls of water.
Yeah. I got pounded today.
Yeah.
Just on the sandbar.
Yeah. The paddle out, it was shallow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what time low tide
was.
It
was probably higher tide. It was this evening.
Yeah. So low tide, I think it was around 4 or something.
I could touch the bottom where I was stuck for about 10 waves. And I had the hood on, so I had to pull it off because I felt like the hood was choking me. I thought it was strangling me, but it wasn't.
Yeah, that claustrophobic. So you feel claustrophobic at times too?
Yes.
I hate hoods. I have a friend that lives in California, Long Beach.
Poor guy.
I know. He's had it rough. Long Beach, but I've flown out, surfed with him, you know, and the conversation is, would you rather have consistently good waves but have to wear a wetsuit all the time, most of the time, or have inconsistent waves and be able to board short.
No brainer.
Which
board,
one?
Board short. Board any short. Day. I'll take the warm waves. But yeah. Ideally, you travel to where it's warm.
Right.
The endless summer would be the ideal.
Right. So where have you surfed around the world? I mean, because you have us here, La Saladita, Mexico.
La Saladita, and got to go there twice. The second time I had Tony Puente went with us from the WBLA. He would be a good person to podcast with.
Yeah.
And we did a fundraiser for the locals there. And since he was bilingual, he got to kind of
lead it sweet.
Off. But I went to Costa Rica with some missionary friends. They didn't surf, but they set me up with somebody so I could surf. El Salvador, which got really sick there.
Oh, no. Food?
It was a bummer. I don't know. It could have been the bird flu. I think some people were sick that went with us and gave it to me. And then Don had the other thing that you get in third world countries.
And Don's your husband?
Yes.
Yes. Does he surf?
Yeah.
Does he?
I taught him.
Oh, so he started late too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to teach him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew he was a good guy if he was willing to kind of learn from a woman.
But, you know, let's keep going. Let's keep going with places you've surfed, and let's do the whole the buzz phrase now. Let's circle back, and then we'll see if we can catch up on a couple of things.
So, and then Puerto Rico, I went for the film festival with Any Given Morning, and fell in love with it. So Don proposed, and we got engaged, and so we honeymooned there, and then we went every year since. So Puerto Rico has been our spot.
Yeah.
And there's so many good waves there.
There are. We're actually heading there in a couple weeks.
Ooh, yeah. Me too. When are you going to be there?
April 5th through the 10th.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going the 27th.
Okay.
31st.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, so we'll be down there. If you need us to take anything, swing by the house, check on it or whatever.
Okay.
We'll do that for you.
Thanks.
So Puerto Rico, anywhere else?
Well, on the West Coast. Been to San Onofre, Malibu, Huntington Beach, Scripps Pier, La Jolla.
Oh, okay. Did you run into your friend?
I wish I could have. Might not have done the Christian thing.
Right.
No,
right.
Just kidding. I hope her kid's doing okay.
Yeah. How old was the kid?
A teenager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And then, so anywhere else?
Nowhere. Charleston, Nag's Head. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. You got any future plans to go to other surf destinations in the world?
I think we settled on Puerto Rico just being our place.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do have consistent waves pretty much from hurricane season through March or April.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, that's a good length of time. It's always 80 degrees.
Yes.
80 degree water.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
it's a reef though. You got to be, that's tricky.
Right. Billy was over there shaking his head. He just went with his wife and little one. But I off air, I need to sit down and talk to you. So we're going to probably surf from like middles all the way down to like ruins. And I don't know if we'll make it down, because what we're doing there, it's, we're calling it the surf and serve. We're going to go down and work. We're going to surf in the morning, and then we're serving Youth for Christ camp there on the west side there in Aguadilla. And we'll be doing construction and
Do they yard work. Still have Maria damage?
I'm not sure. They just recently bought it, and so they're trying to fix it up to get their summer programs up and running.
Cool.
Yeah, so we're going to go down. I think there's like 20 of us, 23 of us that are going. And so we're going to surf in the morning and then get to work.
I hope you're not all going to show up at the same break.
No, we do have two vehicles, and I don't know if we want to swallow breaks like that. But just to you know, get with you about some of the spots and some of the things to look out, keyholes or whatever that we need to we need to learn. So we'll get our maps out.
Yes. You
know, draw it.
Oops, tech.
There you go. So so Don serves.
Mm-hmm.
Now whose truck is that?
I mean, we're married.
True.
what is his is mine, and mine is his.
True.
So I'll say, we originally, he was going to quit his job. He gave his notice in March.
Okay.
And last year. And actually, they were going to get rid of somebody above him. And so they said, you know, how about hang around for, you know, we'll honor your, you know, I think he gave a month or something. Mm-hmm. And then what, 2 weeks later, lockdown, quarantine, not a good time to start a business. But anyway, we had bought that truck thinking, cause he's a landscape genius. Mm-hmm. Our yard is like the Garden of Eden.
Wow.
And, so he loves doing that. So that was going to be his thing. But
oh yeah,
I don't know, with the person above him that actually did leave, that was kind of one of the things that was making him miserable.
Yeah.
So he's staying at his job. So okay. Now it's the beach truck.
There you go.
Yeah.
What it's beautiful. What year?
72.
72, yellow and white.
Mm-hmm.
Interiors redone and everything? Or is it?
I don't know if they're redone. They're not. They don't have holes in them. Is
that... Hey, for something to be 72 and have no holes.
Right.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. So it's just a little bit younger than us.
Yeah. That truck turns heads as you drive.
I've noticed that a lot of men will say, oh, actually, and women too.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I used to have a truck like that.
Really?
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. It's a beautiful truck. And you always know, oh, Laurel's out. Now, you know, you still surf about every day?
No, not since, well, gosh, you know, it's tough to come back from 80 degree water and jump
and throw a neoprene.
Jump into 50 degree water. Yeah. And so I'm telling myself that today was the coldest it'll be until next winter.
True. I would think so.
I'm hoping.
I would think so. We've had some chilly sessions this winter.
I've heard.
It's been, yeah. I mean, I think we finally had an official winter here.
Yeah, like, this was a true winter.
Yeah, longer, colder.
We just heard about it. I mean, like, we checked while we were in Puerto Rico, the weather here.
That's rough. Thanks for that. Man. Man. So what do you ride now? What surfboard do you ride now?
I like to switch it up. I cannot seem to land on the board. But in Puerto Rico, I've got a 610 Fat Walden. And here I have a 711 that's probably just not quite as floaty, but a little bit longer. I have an 8-something. And then I have a 6 Rusty that I really want to work towards.
Yeah.
Getting down to there because I want to duck dive.
Right.
I've never duck dive.
Right. What's a duck dive for those that?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, you know, when you have a longer board and you're paddling out, you can't go under the wave. You got this big flotation device. So you roll over and what we do, call it a turtle. And you have the board over you and you kind of shove it into the wave. And then if you have a short board, the shortboarders get to go under the wave.
Yes, we do.
That's just like, you know, if you're standing in the whitewater and you're getting nailed by waves, and how much better it is just to go under.
Right, right.
So that would be nice. What do you ride?
So I ride a 9.2, but mostly I ride a 5.10 that Sean made for me, Sean O'Donnell.
Yeah.
That's Savage.
Yeah.
It's the Creature model. So I had to go check on my son at Jeffrey's Bay, South Africa. And while I was there, I bought a board.
I had to,
you know, made sure everything was all right. So I bought a board while I was there and brought it back and really fell in love with it. And not to be a downer, but my mom passed away. And one of the things, my mom, her mind was failing. But the one memory that whenever I'd call and talk to her, it seemed like whenever I was driving to the beach or coming back from a session, I'd always call my parents, just check in, say, hey.
Yeah.
And they were like, what are you up to? I said, oh, I just got done surfing. And my mom would always bring it back to this one story where she was sitting on the beach and I paddled out and it was getting dark and I drifted away. She couldn't see me and she thought I was gone. And then she sees me walking up the beach. So she always closed any conversation with that story. I remember the time, you know, that kind of story.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, when she passed, I wanted to get a board made in her honor. And so it's called the Pootinky.
Pootinky.
Yeah, it's the Creature model, Savage Creature. But he took a little bit of volume off for those duck dives. And he got it a little label under glassed in, says Pootinky. And she called me Pootinky until I was married.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, here I am, high school, DC punk rocker, mohawk, you know, combat boots, blue jeans, and I'd be with my friends, and I'd hear my mom, Pootinky, time to go. I mean, she did not care. And I don't, maybe she did it on purpose, you know?
Yeah.
But Pootinky is what you call me because she said there was a time when she was changing my diaper. Mm-hmm. She pulled it back and she went, Pootinky. You know how moms talk, you know? And that stuck. So she called me Pootinky until I was 25.
So now when you're paddling in the waves and...
I got my Pootinky.
You got your Pootinky.
Yep. So that's 5'10".
And
I
maybe
ride that.
If it's a really big wave and you below it, it's a little Pootinky.
That was a Pootinky wave. I made that wave Pootinky. Yeah, but so I've got the 5'10", and I've got a couple in between that I just bought my son. I found it at a pawn shop. It's a 6'4 modern love child. It's pretty sick.
Okay.
I had to coerce him into letting me ride it this evening.
I was going to say, like, you know, when you buy somebody you love a board, but, you know, there's that little bit of,
I
can't wait to ride that board.
I bought it, and then we went 50-50.
Oh, okay. So you're part owner.
I am part owner, and he has been like, no, no, no. And I had to put my foot down, go all dad mode.
Mm-hmm. Look.
Now. I want to ride it now. Two waves. I ended up 5 waves later giving it back to him. But it rides.
That's why he didn't want you to get it.
He knew he wouldn't get it back. But no, that's it. That's it. It's a nice little board. So, Laurel, yes. Any last minute advice to the lady in La Jolla? No,
Oh, man. I hope your kid turned out okay. No, I would just say to newbies, man, just go out at sunrise. You'll be hooked.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous.
Yes, it will. Yep. Yeah, you can't beat a sunrise coming over the ocean, and especially sharing it with friends and good waves.
Hey, is Surf Church back on the beach?
So Surf Church, we will go back outside under the pier, Crystal Pier, Good Friday. Evening.
Okay.
And then Easter Sunday, we'll be back out on the beach. And then out on the beach the rest of the...
Cool.
So we may fight a couple of cold mornings
early
on, but yep, we're going back outside.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll see you there, 7:30, Crystal Pier. Hey, and before we wrap it up, Laurel, did you know the Bible talks about surfing? You ever read that?
Where it says walking on the water?
No. Not with Jesus walking on the water. No.
Talking about in Psalms, because in the waves... Wash over me?
No, okay. Not then.
Well, I know I'm a little worried about the whole heaven thing where there's no oceans.
Yep. Don't go there.
A little worried about that. Yeah. The glass. Sea glass.
Maybe there's a wave pool.
Definitely. Oh, Jesus has got something. Sweet.
Right. Well, Acts chapter 27.
Okay.
So Paul is heading to Rome. Mm-hmm. And there's a shipwreck.
Yeah.
So if you read verse 44, it says they all made it to shore, some on pieces of the ship, others on boards.
Oh, my God.
So there you have it.
Dang.
It's in there. And, you know, there was over like 200 people on that ship.
They were.
You know that there was a couple of those guys who were like, hey, that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
You want to go back out
and do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us on this episode. Laurel, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Y'all, take care. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Bill.